I'd like to ask you to read in the book of Joshua, first of all, please. Joshua and chapter 1. Verse 8. This book of the law thou shalt meditate, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law. Now the 69th Psalm, please, for our second reading, Psalm 69, where the psalmist is expressing his desire for judgment on those who are his enemies, verse 25, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. The book of the living. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I wonder, as we have read that passage together tonight, how many from the gathering will stand before God in that day. What a day. We have read tonight about God's books. There is something about that scene in Nazareth when the Lord Jesus took the book, a scroll, not a book of leaves as we have it, and as the Son of God read from that book, how reverently he must have read, with what attention his audience would follow the reading of the Word. How carefully he read and handled it and declared that it was being fulfilled in their very hearing. I would like tonight that there might be the same sense of reverence as we handle this book
because it is God's book that we are handling tonight. It is God's message that we are declaring. There is something very arresting, I should hope, in the subject of God's books. What God has written, I think it would be of interest to all of us to know what is in God's book. We have read from Psalm 69 of the book of the living. I don't think it is difficult to see that the psalmist, as he records his words, is actually saying that his wish is for them to be removed from life, for them to be blotted out of the book of the living. Very simply, he says, God has a book, and in that book are the names of all who are living. Now, I take that very simply to mean that all that are alive in our meeting tonight, all of us, God has a record that includes all who are living in this world. And God is in absolute control as to what is done with those names that are in that book. There are some, and it may be some in the meeting tonight, have been in this very place. There are some, and they have drawn so very near to death. And as far as medical science was concerned, medical science says they're gone. There is absolutely no way that we can sustain life. We do not expect them ever to come back. They're gone. And yet, marvelously, they are with us tonight. And the only answer is this: God did not erase their names from the book of the living. God is in absolute control of the names of those that are written in the book of the living. But when the psalmist prays that their names will be blotted out of the book of the living, there's something very solemn to me about that. It's as if the psalmist, if we were to write it in our language today, as if the psalmist is asking God to turn his pencil round to the other side. Just erase their names. That's all. Just alter the book. There is no long process that needs to be undertaken. There is not some lengthy planning that needs to take place. The psalmist says it is simply a matter of God erasing the name. And suddenly the soul, so comfortable in life, expecting things to come, making plans for days into the future, suddenly that life is interrupted, and suddenly the name is out of the book, and they are gone into eternity. I would like to remind every person in the gospel meeting tonight that none of us has the power to retain the Spirit in the day of death. Not one of us has the capability, when the moment has come, of saying, I'm going to brave the storm. There is absolutely no power that can remove me from life. I am invincible. My life will never be altered until I will it to be so. None of us would be so foolish. And yet all of us think that way. May I remind you tonight, dear soul, that the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. That was the message to the great king. I'm not so sure that I'd like to have been the prophet that told the king that. And yet as the king began to realize this is God's message to me, that man was brought face to face with the fact that I am sinning against the God who controls my breath. And at any moment that God may close his hand on my breath, that God may simply erase my name from the book. And when Daniel records the story, all he tells us is this: that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. That night, the hand of God closed. That night, the eraser of God removed the name. He was gone. Oh, the solemn reality of death that faces every one of us. No person here, from the youngest to the oldest, has some kind of a lease on life. The name is out of the book. The book is altered so simply by the Omnipotent. And I do want to remind you tonight that the appointments relative to that book are all made by God. It is not a question like it is with the dentist that God will consult you about the time of your appointment. You may get a phone call and you have an appointment with the dentist for tomorrow at 2:30, and the secretary might have called you today and said, "Excuse me, I'm very sorry, but the doctor is going to be busy tomorrow at 2:30. When you have an appointment, would it be all right with you if we reschedule the appointment for 4:30? And if you say, "Absolutely not, 4:30 is not convenient with me, if there's no time tomorrow, it'll have to be the next day." Well, that's fine. We can squeeze you in at 2:30 the next day. Will that be all right? It's all up to you. God does not consult men and women as to when their appointment will be kept with death. It is already determined. It is a solemn fact that as we preach the gospel, there are some in our meeting who may be the youngest in the gathering, whose appointment may be first. God does not ask you. The Almighty makes the appointments relative to names being blotted out of the Book of the Living. We were just discussing last week the sad story of what affected our family many miles from here. There were two sisters that were very close to each other, cousins of my father. And all the family was saddened that Sally was diagnosed as having a terminal disease. And her sister Peg came in from her home, and she wanted to spend all the time she could with Sally because Sally would not be living too long. And after about 2 weeks of being with her, she had to leave because she and her husband were going for a little vacation down to Florida. And there's the picture still in my mind. Peg outside the room wiping the tears away and thinking about her dear sister Sally, soon to be gone into eternity. Thank God both saved, but they would miss the one the other. Peg left for home. On Monday, she said her tearful farewell for the time being to Sally. Poor Sally is sick, and the sentence of death has been written. And before that week was gone, all the family was shocked to find out that both she, Peg, and her husband were gone into eternity. We all thought Sally would go. We never thought Peg would go. I want to remind you tonight that it is God that makes the appointments. And God does not consult you as to whether you're ready. Death does not wait until it is convenient. There are some in the meeting tonight, and if the cold, clammy hand of the enemy death should silence your heart and suspend your last breath, your soul would go wailing and joining its cry with the wail of the lost and the endless sigh. It would be eternal night, your name blotted out of the book of the living. We have read in Joshua chapter 1 of the book of the law. I want to remind you tonight that God has written His divine standard in His book. And when God wrote the law, He didn't write it so an eraser could change it. When God wrote the law, He wrote it on tables of stone that men might remember down through 1986 that when God has written what is right, God has never changed it. And the standard of divine righteousness and the law of God will never be altered. Society may be changing its laws as to what is morally right and morally wrong. And society may be saying, "Listen, that was old-fashioned and you don't have to believe that anymore." What God called sin when Moses received the law is sin in 1986. And the book of the law still gives to us the standard by which God's righteousness is displayed. Let there be no mistake tonight, dear soul, that God is not judging you by what you think to be right. And God is not judging you by what your neighbors think to be right. You may excuse it to your mother, and you may defend it before your father, but God's law has never changed. And God gave His law that man might know the reality of his own sin. By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You ever go to one of these places that puts a little stamp on the back of your hand for admission? And you look at it every which way and you can hardly tell whether it's there or not. But if you leave that place and ask to come back, they'll just put your hand underneath the black light. You might not be able to see it in the light of the sun, but put it underneath that black light and it's there as plain as you can be, as it can be. Listen, when you stand in the light of God's law, you stand with every sin mark pronounced in the presence of God. It is God's law that expresses what right is as far as God is concerned. And God's law has not changed. I'm thinking in Revelation chapter 20 of another of God's books. And I am choosing to call that tonight the Book of Liabilities. Because I do want you to know tonight that what is in that book is a long list of liabilities under your name. Your greatest liabilities tonight are not financial. Your greatest liabilities tonight are not problems that you will face here on earth. Your greatest liability is the matter of your sins in the presence of God. And I want to remind you tonight that God has written every one of your sins in His book. There is not one thing, but it is all written in the book of God. My, there's something very striking when God writes through Jeremiah to the people of Judah, and He says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. God has inscribed it deeply, and there is absolutely no power on earth that will ever remove the impression of your sin on the books of the Almighty in heaven. All things, says the book of God, all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In God's book, every one of your sins is written. Not only is it written permanently, but there is something most arresting in the 90th Psalm, where the psalmist says, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins, in the light of Thy countenance. There is something about God's book of liabilities that goes beyond my ability to explain or understand. I can only tell you tonight that every single one of your sins is in the consciousness of God at this moment. I can only retain a few things in my consciousness. There are things I have done in the past, and the memory of them fades. And there are only so many things I can remember in the present. And that's the way it is with you too. But when we are speaking about God, there is never a moment that God is not conscious of what you did last night. And God is not conscious of what you did last week. And in the darkness of night when no other eye saw it, God saw it. And it has never left the memory of God, never. And every one of those deeds written in the book of liabilities is all marked by God for judgment. Every one of them. What are you going to do when you have to look the Almighty in the face and the books are opened? And all of your sins are brought out in the searchlight of God's presence. There are times, you know, when people are very uncomfortable in the preaching because they have a suspicion that somebody told the preacher something about them. You would be embarrassed tonight if the preachers knew half the story of the last week. What are you going to do when you stand face to face with the blessed Savior? And the whole record of your past life is all out in the open. The book's opened. And every sin, all
out before God. And there's only one result from that scene. Every sin will only add to the weight of your judgment forever. They're marked by God for judgment. And at that same scene, Revelation chapter 20 says there's the book of life. That's not the book of the living, the book of life. I want to tell you tonight, when I think of that solemn great white throne of judgment, I am thankful to God tonight my name's in the book of life. I'm never going to stand before God in judgment. The record of my sins is never going to be brought out in the presence of God. And there's never going to be a moment when there's a futile search in the book of life for my name. Thank God my name's written there on the page, white and fair. Thank God for everyone in the meeting tonight that has a moment when they receive life from God. Born from above, they have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. Dear soul, tonight do you have life? Or is it true tonight your name's not in the book of life? Never been a moment when you received eternal life. And when that final moment comes, there will be a sad, solemn, final search. Whosoever was not found. Not found. And from the scenes of judgment, where every sin is out in the open, you will be hurled by the hand of the Almighty into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I met a man some years ago who told a remarkable story of his conversion. He lived in a home where the Bible was not respected. And in fact, it was a home where the Bible was mocked. And one day his brother was reading from the Bible. He was reading from it to mock it. And as his brother was reading from the book of the Revelation and mocking the ridiculous things that were written in that book, this boy looked over his shoulder and his eye fell on these words, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And he read them over again. And his heart was impressed with the solemnity of it, and he never forgot what he read. And while his brother carried on his mocking, an arrow from the quiver of God reached that boy's soul. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Whatever it means, he thought, it's very serious. That boy left that home. He went to college. At college, he met boys that told him they were saved. And they began to speak to him. Do you know what came back to him in college days? "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It had been planted by God in that boy's soul, and I trust it's in some soul in the meeting tonight. I'm not in the book. And my future will be the lake of fire for all eternity. Oh, that God would awaken some in the meeting tonight. Dear soul, you are trifling with eternal things and your eternal destiny. Not found in the book of life. There's a book of liberty from which the Lord Jesus ran. It was a book in which the Word of God said, "Proclaim liberty." I wish tonight that the Spirit of God has so touched some heart in the meeting tonight that you are cherishing, that you are longing for this liberty. Oh God, if only I could be free from the burden of my conscience. Oh God, if only I could know that all those sins were removed from the book of God's records. If only I could have the burden of sin lifted. Dear soul, tonight, God's book proclaims that there is liberty from the burden of sin. And that liberty tonight is available to you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would like to whisper in your ear tonight that you could leave this meeting free from the burden of sin. We sing sometimes, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Dear soul tonight, look yonder to Calvary and see that that precious blood that was shed at Calvary
cleanseth from all sin. There's liberty tonight. There's release from your sin. The book proclaims it. It's available to you tonight because the Savior has died. God grant tonight you might not leave this meeting without knowing personally that your sins are gone, that the record in the book of God has been eternally erased by precious blood, and leave this meeting tonight free, at last, free from sin, liberated by the power of the precious blood of Christ.